أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وعليه الطيبين الطاهرين. Continuing with our look at Islamic ethics and education, and we've been focusing on letter number 31 of Nahj al-Balagha. A letter written by Imam Ali alayhi salam to his son Imam Hassan alayhi salam on his way back from Siffin. Now comes a paragraph which many find pretty disturbing. It talks about women, and without understanding it, we tend to interpret it in the wrong ways. I shall try and make an attempt to look at what Imam really means when he says these words. Imam says, he starts off by saying, وَإِيَّاكَ وَمُشَاوَرَةَ النِّسَاءِ فَإِنَّ رَأْيَهُنَّ إِلَىٰ أَفْنِي وَعَزْمُهُنَّ إِلَىٰ وَحْنِ. So Imam is saying, avoid consulting with unwise women, because their opinions will be emotionally entangled or emotionally entangled, and decisions will not be stable. Now, we've seen before in the letter where he says sensuality leads to blindness. Very often in the relationship between man and women, we cannot see clearly. Rationality does not prevail, and therefore then taking decisions that need a rational matter and relying on the opposite gender is not a very wise decision. Women and men are made up, they're physiological, they're emotional, they're psychological, everything, all the makeup is different, and we know that. We cannot deny it. Women are far more emotionally intelligent than men are, and thus the raising of children is placed with them, because they can deal with the emotions of a child, which men find very, very difficult. Men are more rational in their stance. And Imam is drawing his attention towards rational decisions. Remember, history also at that time showed an incident in the Battle of Jamal, when after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find a woman rising up concerning Basra, and we find the havoc that called, which caused so many deaths of so many thousands of Muslims. And the Battle of Siffin and Nahrawan were offshoots of that battle, when the emotional anger of a woman was expressed with the cooperation of other men into causing a battle amongst Muslims. So Imam was not trying to demean women, as many people, when they read this paragraph, immediately latch out at, but drawing his son's attention to making decisions or taking rational measures and then involving women who have an emotional attachment. Because look, he says, by using hijab, you will stop strangers from violating them. And this is because hijab will keep them protected, will keep them safer. He tells his son, they're leaving home. It's as bad as putting undependable men on their path. He's talking about the vulnerability of a woman. In essence, he's drawing his son's attention to the natural attraction that occurs between genders, and prevention is far better than cure. He tells his son, if you can, don't let her know anybody but you. That doesn't mean isolate her. It means, let's look at it in the right way. By extension, it means make yourself available to her in all aspects of her life, so much so that she doesn't need anybody else. Don't give her responsibilities that is beyond her capabilities. And that advice, really, we should take to heart. In our society today, women are burdened with far more than they really should be doing, but they take it upon them. We find women who are not only expected to go out and earn a living so that they may be able to boost the family income, but also come back and then look after the children and look after the houses and look after the emotional maintenance of absolutely every family household. And it's somehow come out as an expectation of a woman to have to do that. Here Imam makes it very clear. And I often wonder that we pick upon the negativity, we don't look at the positivity. But when it comes to issues like this, and especially, I'm afraid, the male gender, we take that which suits us and we forget what Imam is trying to say here. And Imam actually gives a reason. He says, because a woman is as delicate as a flower. He says, فَإِنَّ الْمَرْعَةُ رَيْحَانَ وَلَيْسَتْ بِقَحْرَمَانَ She's not a dictator or an administrator. Don't give her titles beyond herself. And that's exactly what I've been talking about. Don't make her the earner outside and the person who looks after the whole household within. Continues to say, do not encourage her to intercede for others. She's got enough to do. And then he tells him, don't show suspicion out of place. Because when you do that, it would lead even a righteous woman to evil and a chaste woman to deviation. And again, we find men who are so extremely possessive that they somehow put their wives in gilded cages. And Imam is trying to seek a balance here, because that will only lead a woman to want to leave that gilded cage. And finally, the last paragraph of the letter. Imam says, O my son, for everyone amongst your workers, fix a work for which you may hold him or her responsible. In this way, they will not deviate. In other words, have a job description. Respect your family, because they are the wings with which you fly, the origins towards which you return, and your hands with which you attack. And finally, the last bit is so beautiful. Maybe we should write it in stone and keep it with us. Because Imam tells his son, Ya Bunayya, istawdi Allaha dinaka wa dunyaka. Place your religion and your world at the disposal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Was'alhu khayr al-qadha'i laka fil ajilati wal ajila. وَالدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. And ask him to ordain the best for you in respect of the near and the far, this world and the next. And that is an end to the matter. It's absolutely beautiful. Well, let's look at the last paragraph. And it saddens me to come to the end of this letter, because his words are so beautiful. Absolutely amazing. So in this portion, which is the last, Imam says, he pinpoints sort of three issues. He says, look, there should be a division of responsibilities. You know, in any organized society, you have to appoint people for specific tasks. And it's very, very important. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for example, says, إِذَا كَانَ ثَلَاثَةٌ فِي السَّفَرْ فَلْيُعَمِّرْ أَحَدَهُمْ. If there are three people traveling together, one should be a sort of leader or manager as such. So Imam is saying, look, you've got to work out job descriptions. The second point, he says, is respect your relations. Very, very important. Jaham ibn Hamid says that he goes up to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and says, I have a family who does not believe in what I believe. Do they have a right upon me? And Imam says, nothing can demolish the rights of a family. If they believe in your faith, then they have two rights upon you. Family rights and the Islamic rights. Very, very important. You know, there's a saying which says that infidelity does not abolish kinship. So it's very important to understand that relatives are there. Blood will always remain blood. That's why Imam says, they are the wings with which you fly, they are the roots to which you return, and their hands and power through which you attack your enemies. And finally, Imam alayhi salam says, Istawdiu dinaka wa dunyaka. I entrust your faith and life with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just so beautiful. And this is the end of every letter, where Imam asks Allah to protect his son here and hereafter. Maybe we should use it in the end of all our letters and associations with our children and those who are close to us.